Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150-939 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And people, it's Wednesday. I know this week is flying by, so much to talk about in the past and so much more moving forward. Steve Rummage in Tennessee, Ryan Hall's in the booth.
Yeah, you could say Steve Rummage in God's country, which is a beautiful, beautiful time down here with the leaves changing and all that. So, I can't even sugarcoat it, but it's good. It's another day. I'm glad to be back. We are playing Notre Dame in South Bend in just a couple days. I mean, these are sentences that I've had to Marcus as I get aggravated sometimes with this team. I have to say things like, Steve, Louisville is playing Notre Dame in South Bend on Saturday on NBC at 2:30. Get over yourself and remind myself of that. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see. We'll see where we go today.
No, Steve, you actually sound believable on this one. Like, listen, I thought I was the only one that was going to be excited about it, and I was hoping, like,
yeah,
I was hoping other people would. Okay, gauge the excitement level of the general fan base. Because here's the thing: some people are just going to be. You know what Brian Hall asked me?
What's that?
It was the saddest question you ever heard.
Okay. I'm listening.
The saddest pre-show.
You want me to ask it for you?
Pre-show question. No.
I'm here.
I want to tell the story. I want to give it
you
a little
want
bit
the build up.
Let me give it a little context.
Cashier conversation on it.
No, not that much. You know what he said to me?
I'm listening.
I'm in here, and he asked about the Notre Dame game, and I said I may have a game plan. And Brian, yeah, the game plan that you were privy to, we'll talk about that later on. Mm-hmm. And Brian, like you, was waiting for the punchline. And he knew by the energy that I was serious. And he knew this wasn't going to be a joke, right?
Yeah.
And then Brian just jumped ahead and said, so what are people going to say after we upset Notre Dame? Actually, it wasn't the saddest question. I apologize, Brian. You know what the sad part was?
What?
My response.
Oh, God.
You know what my response was?
What is it?
Oh, that was a lucky win. Notre Dame took them light. I mean, but if they win next game.
Yeah, he said they'll say if they won, we got lucky and that we'll have to see what happens next week.
Well, now, listen, while I will say that is true. That is true. That is what you will hear primarily from 3 to 6 on the other station. But you would hear a lot of the just, you know, whatever. Yeah, they beat Notre Dame. It's because Notre Dame wouldn't take them serious. But the reason why that's sad is because you take your eyes off the prize, man. And the prize would be what we got to do if they did do something like that. So kudos to Brian, man. Good job,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, that was a decent setup.
Vibes. That's why we got Brian here.
Okay,
man. I love it.
But Steve, here's the thing. Today's a Wednesday. People are just kind of tuning in, getting warmed up, and we just got to tell them there's going to be some basketball conversation this morning, 100%.
Well, practice starts today. I think actually Louisville may start tomorrow, but college basketball practice starts today. So whether we like it or not, basketball season's around the corner,
we
man.
Got some captains.
And we got some captains.
We got
that
some
we're
captains
talk about.
That we actually have to break down. But first, very, very energetic, very happy to jump on the line early. Falon, thanks for joining us on Ninth Round. Fire away.
Hey, what's up, Maven and Steve? I just want to go on a record. I sent a few texts in earlier. I said, market, save it for the take. Give it to Andy. Give it to Strebel, you know, they always had hot takes. So I was going to make a hot take right now. Louisville's going to win 21-17 versus Notre Dame.
Listen, are you the one that's been driving Drew crazy all morning or yesterday morning?
I think so.
but you are wanting to get this on guaranteed record because you've had a vision. Listen, is it a vision or is it a game plan that you think we have? Because here's the thing. I can support some game plan talk as well. Or if you just got a gut feeling, you can tell me that too.
I got a gut feeling because you can do confusion, but when you play somebody straight up and man-to-man, you can pretty much see where they're going. See, with Georgia Tech, they play confusion. They play out of hypeness and out of, like, oh, they ain't nobody. I mean, they did beat us 56, whatever the point was.
Right.
They already had that mental mentality. But once we go to Notre Dame, we've already been there. We beat them. We go in there with some purpose.
Now, listen, I appreciate the call. To his point, we have played well against Notre Dame out of the last, what, three matchups?
That's a good call to start the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, I think two. I don't know. Have we played them more than
twice? Well, then two. Yeah, you're right. Two. And I will say this, and this is not a Falon, quote-unquote, take. This is yesterday's conversation about the catbird seat, which Louisville and Louisville's fans – and Louisville's players and Louisville's DNA is a hunter, not a hunted. And they have been the hunted. You were the hunted against Miami because, you know, the preseason rankings made you hunted early in the year. You were hunted Pittsburgh, you know what I'm saying, because Pittsburgh is won their respect, you know. You were, I believe you were still ranked higher than Pittsburgh at the time. And Georgia Tech, you were definitely hunted because Georgia Tech was seen to be one of the bottom feeders. So this will really be your first game as a we have nothing to lose this game. We can lay it all out. We will not be disappointing or looked down upon, you know, basically no matter the results. So keep that in the back of your mind when we go forward a little bit.
Well, and I will agree with you to an extent when I say and not that you were saying otherwise, but I don't know that I would. Well, I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't pick Louisville to win the game,
right?
But I would.
Aren't we in play much better mode, though?
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I think I would be really. What I will be really blown away by is if we just come out flat and don't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we go up to South Bend and they kick off at 2:30 and I'm just finishing up watching the Vols slaughter Kentucky and I flip it over, it will be, make no mistake about it, a slaughter. And I flip it over and I watch Louisville kick off and Notre Dame just ball, bam, touchdown. Mm. Louisville comes out. Oh, they look sloppy again. Notre Dame, touchdown. You know, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're really just going to get rolled today.
Mm-hmm.
I will honestly be surprised. I think Louisville will come out. I think they'll come out and they'll play well. And Marcus, I'm not saying, oh, they'll just play hard.
Right.
I'm saying I think they'll play well.
Execution-wise, blocking-wise, energy-wise.
What
will make the biggest jump? Not that we're going down the full road. Just Steve, you know, quick, early, you know, feels. What? Where will you see the biggest jump, Steve?
Ooh, where will we see the biggest jump? I mean,
I tell you what, think on that and let me go to the phone lines real quick.
Okay, fair enough.
Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 939. Fire away.
At least we can talk about something positive now. I cannot wait to see this basketball team. Like, I love this roster. We got a lot of size. We can have a whole lot of different lineups. And this is going to be Chris Mack's third year, meaning these are his guys. Meaning you're going to see a better team than you did in year one and year two. In year two, I was mad that that team did get 10 going to the tournament. They would have did something.
Right.
Year three, you got a point guard now. You got big front line. I cannot wait to see what David Johnson do this season, because I believe he's the MVP of this team.
Lawrence, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the energy. How about that, Steve? I mean, that, we were always just waiting for basketball season, right?
Yeah, no, Lawrence does not, nor has he ever cared about what we're talking about.
And everyone should know that by now. Yeah. And if they didn't know that, they do know that now. He's not.
You said the word basketball earlier, and it tipped him off. Like something, that little nugget in Lawrence's brain exploded, and it was like, all right, let's go.
Okay, well,
81-50-93-9.
Listen, we've always said it's the caller show. We just are steering the ship. So, Captain Steve, we are 15 minutes into the show. We got our captains, and that has never been a subject that we throw on the back burner. Captains, first thoughts.
Well, we don't especially having you in here, you know what captain. Were you ever a captain?
Steve!
What?
Start talking about being captains. I'm an expert on captains. Yes, Steve.
Okay, I'm literally asking. Oh, okay. When did it take?
I am the captain now.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm curious. Like, were you ever a captain? Yeah. I'm not trying to make a point here.
Probably about halfway through my sophomore year.
Really? So you were a captain that early?
Don't sound so surprised, Steve. I was the 11th.
He's like, really?
I was the 11th freshman to start in the 27-year history of Denny Crum, the 11th, Steve, in 27 years. How in the hell would it surprise you if I was a captain early on in my career? Do you see the way I was punching off fools? You think that's not captain worthy, Steve?
Listen, captain's not always your play on the court, okay? It's are you a leader?
Dude, and I was a freshman. I had to be able to defend myself, Steve.
who were the upperclassmen your sophomore
dude,
year?
Dude, they didn't care. They were just like, go ahead and take the captain freshman.
could you grab one of them by the jersey?
I could.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. No, I mean, okay, I believe you. Look, I probably wouldn't,
and I would be prepared to get beat up, but
yeah,
I could. And because it's one of those things, like, I don't yell at people a lot, so if I yell, it's I'm probably serious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
No,
so,
that's fair. Okay. No,
to be serious, like, yeah, I do think they were kind of like, yeah, just go up there, freshman. Or go up there. Just, I don't feel like being a captain.
Yeah.
One, two, three, break. Hey, guys, bring it in. Okay, Marcus.
Okay, here he is. There he is. He's going to lead it.
What time is it?
Yeah. CARDS. Go Cards.
Oh,
are you the guy? Yeah, don't even worry about it. You that guy. Hey, don't even worry about it, man. Hey, everybody airballs a free throw.
Oh no, I'm
come
like
over here.
I'm like, look, you ain't gonna make it to the league. Airball.
Yeah, you're done.
Let me hit this one, clear out this line real quick. Like I said, people are getting excited, so I'll get excited as well. Andy, thanks for joining us on 939. Fire away.
Hey, what's going on, guys? One on topic, one off topic. First one on topic. Cool. I do think we're going to give Notre Dame a better game than we have in the past. I get excited about Brian Brown's enthusiasm about things. I think he is the right guy. But the off-topic thing, and I keep hearing you guys bring up Strebel and Blankenbaker.
Oh no, I did.
The idea.
No, we
well, didn't. the idea is there should be a show on that covers Loxo's spot, and it should be the Honks with Strebel and Blankenbaker. Mm. And I'll hang up and get your. input on that. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
I'm okay with it because we wouldn't have to worry about it still in our ratings. So,
Steve is locked and loaded this morning with the hot pew 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 pew.
I know.
Okay, so Steve, captains, let's go.
I'm kidding. I like Blankenbaker. So
pew pew.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mark. I shouldn't have said it. Mark's good. But anyways, So, no, the thing is we do have some captains, and on this show we do break that down quite a bit because I do think it's very important, and I think it tells you a lot about the makeup of your team. And there was one guy in particular I want to get to that I could not have been happier.
I know it, Steve.
That I did not see his name pop up.
Listen, and this is not something new you're getting ready to say. This is something you've always kind of stood tall on.
we have two captains, Malik Williams, Carleigh Jones. Marcus, I thought we would see another name, and I can't be happier we didn't.
I'm listening.
And the other name is David Johnson.
Mm.
And when I saw...
Wait a minute, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
Steve Rummage is about to give us a reason that he is happy that David Johnson is not a captain. Text us. While Steve is explaining it, feel free to jump in here. Why is Steve happy that David Johnson is not a captain? Fire away, Steve.
There's something about captains. And captains can be dogs, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I think we got two this year that are. I think they were the perfect pick. Because from everybody, we know what Malik Williams can do leadership-wise. We know he probably is the leader of the team. I mean, no disrespect to Carleigh,
mm-hmm.
but I think Malik is like the papaw, if that makes sense, if you'll mm-hmm. let me say that. Like, he's the guy, he'll good and bad. Carleigh, I think, is a great captain, too. But I don't think Carleigh, just from gauging his vibe and his Instagram and his just everything I've put together,
uh-huh.
I don't think Carleigh has a good cop in him, either. Like, I think Carleigh's a little more like Trez. There's no good cop, but I will check you. Like, but I'm not going to pamper you either.
Mm-hmm.
Malik, I think, has a great ability to do both. Malik can rip you, and Malik can also put his arm around you, and you see him teaching a lot of times. I don't think Carleigh's going to be that guy. So I do think that the choice of those two were really good. I did think you would see three, and I thought it would be David. And the reason I'm extremely happy it's not David is because we have made this exact point before, and I'm going to make it again.
Mm.
Teams that win at a high clip or at a high level that have a star or two on them, those guys aren't captains. And you can help me, Marcus, clean it up when I say certain things, but because those guys have a much larger goal than being a captain for the University of Louisville.
Mm.
And David Johnson is coming into a year where he's going to get talked about as a lottery pick. For Louisville to be a Elite Eight, Final Four type team,
uh-huh.
he must be a lottery pick. If that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, he has to be, of course, top 20. I mean, I'm just using lottery, but he has to be a guy that is
a big time player.
Yeah, a big time player. And I need David Johnson this year to think more about David Johnson than about the University of Louisville.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Then basketball placement, what do you call it? Tempo and things like that. It's like, no.
But because being a captain comes with a responsibility. You know, you have a responsibility there. You have to uphold a certain – I don't need David to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I need David to be – I'm the best guy on the floor. And here's the thing. He's got a guy in the backcourt, and I don't care. I've been kind of quiet about this one for a while, and I've listened from afar. Not to you, but I've listened from afar, and I've heard a lot of people mock him, and I've heard the laughter and stuff. Carleigh Jones is the real deal. And he is alongside David. And I think it is the perfect complement to David Johnson. So I think, and when I say perfect complement is, I think his attitude and mentality is going to force David to become a me first guy. Because Carleigh will be that. And David Johnson is not, he's a quiet dude. For one, I could go that road. Like, he's not a captain for one because David Johnson, he's not that guy. You know, he's not that guy.
Texter says, and I'm going to kind of respond to what you just said after this one. Does it concern you, either of you, that none of Mac's first recruiting class are captains?
No. No.
He doesn't seem like he recruits
captains. Yeah. But look at the next class. The thing we point out is we're like, well, the one thing they all do, ratings aside, they're not afraid to trash talk. I mean, every one of their highlights are get up and guys. Yeah, no, he doesn't really recruit captains.
Okay. Now I kind of want to, tell you, thinking about the captain thing, this is kind of where I stand on that one. I agree with you as far as your premise on your superstar does not have to be your captain guy, and a lot of times it's better if they aren't.
Right.
And here's the thing. Aside from what you explained, I want to prepare people for some eventualities that are gonna happen. Once I saw this,
okay.
Once I saw the captain, I saw anxiety. Sometimes I make this reference, Steve, and it kind of brings out the nastiness in people. And this response is, get ready to see something like a mid-season suspension of a car leak. And not a public suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Like a game, car leak's not available today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Coach, get him out the bleeping game. He can't catch the bleeping ball. Hey, that's your teammate. I don't bleep, 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 bleep.
Right.
But you know what? Those end up making the best moments. Those end up making the best teams. Those end up, the changing. Oh, man, remember so-and-so got suspended, so-and-so got in trouble, so-and-so got benched. After that, we went on a 15-game winning streak. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
David not being a captain. If he wanted to be a captain, he's crazy disrespected. If he's not trying to be a captain, that means what you said might be true, and he's going to be a big-time superstar player.
Right.
David Johnson is not sit idly by and let the game go. Like, I did that one year, and I listened to a billion people in the city of Louisville say the same thing. Why aren't you playing? And all these OGs in this city and all these, they're saying the exact same thing that they were saying to people who play, to people way before me. Dude, you got to go get yours. And the coach will start respecting if you go get a bucket. It was exactly what you and I said when we were, picking Shane Bohannon's head over at 502 Cafe. And he said, no, if you can do what you want, but it better work.
Yeah.
And you got to get three people, four people on your court that say, I'm going to do it anyway, but it's going to work. You have to have your Terry Rozier moment.
Yeah.
Where you wave the coach off. If you don't have those, you're capped at second round.
Totally agree.
You're capped at second game of the tournament because there has to be four people on the team that just don't like. We're going to call a timeout, whether or not you like it or not, coach. And we're going to argue. We're going to yell about it. But listen, if you think I mean well and I think you mean well, we'll be fine. But if you think I'm trying to show out on you or you're trying to show out on me, we're going to have problems. But it's going to get exposed, which is a great thing.
Let me ask you a question, because I have been hearing some things talking around with people. And even Lawrence's call a little bit. Is this well? First off, the first thing we notice is Coach Mack is going to take. You said OGs is what made me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Mack is clearly going to take us back to Coach Crum era. Like, I really believe that. I believe with the mentality. I'm not talking wins, losses, blah, 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 anything like that, but I'm talking about the on-the-court product.
Although, you better get some dudes with some hops, coach.
Right. Sure. Now, again, that's why I say I'm not doing a direct comparison, so I don't want to offend any of Coach Crum, and I know a lot of you listen. So, yeah, I don't.
Jason Osborne. Hey, Marcus, let me get Rummage's number real quick.
Hey, no, even worse. Can I get that address real quick?
I just want to talk.
No. I don't want to be offensive to that group whatsoever, because I'm not comparing like that. But on the court product mentality, would this team, is this going to be the closest looking Coach Crum era team that we've had since Coach Crum? I mean, and I know that's kind of easy to say too, because I mean, I know Rick Pitino era teams, maybe not, but I mean, I think certain people looked at even maybe T. Will and Earl and them a little bit, was like, they kind of got that vibe, you know.
You know what? I think the rotation will kind of look like it. Like, I'm just putting players out there, you know. Yeah. I think the rotation will look more like it. But I'm worried the most about the transition for it. Like, if there's no transition, no better transition game, then it's not going to, like.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly where I was going, because when we're talking a lot about Carlique and David right now, I mean, that's kind of the topic du jour right now, even though, I mean, we're not leaving Malik out. I know he was a captain, and we kind of started this with captains, but, I mean, to practice starts today, so I can't help but to get into a little bit of,
style of play. Yeah.
So we're talking about Carlique and David. And the reason why I don't say, I mean, the last two Coach Mac teams, the number one thing we have complained about is transition. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, Marcus. I sat where you sat, on the corner of that table on the court, which is awesome, by the way. Thank you, Kenny Klein. If I ever, my grave, I'm going to thank you for that spot.
Right.
But I've watched, and Coach Mack's not pleased, because I worried about that. I was like, well, maybe he just don't care about transition. Mm. But I would watch him, if he had hair, he would have ripped it out on some of the transition. So I know that's something he wants to do. So I look at this roster, and I looked at the rosters before. We got a good team, but we have transition guys. Mm. I look at this roster and I say, okay, you've got Carlique, David, Sam. We're hoping makes some kind of jump. And that's one thing about this team we can get into in a little bit, is there's about four or five guys that it's like, also, you need one or two of those. They're going to have to make a jump. And if they don't, you may struggle. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there are dudes that can finish. Charles Menlin can finish in transition. Like, we have dudes that can finish in transition now.
One leg jumpers. I need. But here's the problem, Steve. And I hate being like this, but because it's so I don't want to say condescending, but it's something that can happen. And if you want to pick it apart and turn it into like the biggest negative in history, you can. Because if I hated this team, I would say that. I would say sometimes you overestimate somebody's transition knowledge, right? And like I said, I will say this, and he knows I love him, and he knows it's not personal. I've told you this story before, but it goes back to Eric Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Eric Johnson, best legs, highest jumping dude, one of the highest jumping dudes to hit Louisville in history, right?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Steve, that day in practice where Eric couldn't do right leg, you know, left hand layup, and it was like just watching Coach Crum just say, no, stop right now. Everybody get, you know, move out the way.
Yeah.
Eric, you lay that ball up left handed. And then Eric would dribble up and two legged jump and smack the boards, and it's like, no. You start that layup line over, and you lay it up left, right leg, left hand. And he looked awkward. And, of course, like I said, Nate and Alex were ruthless. You know what I'm saying? With the laughing, right? But just the fact that, like I said, this is like a junior Eric Johnson, right?
You're right.
Maybe senior, probably junior, but you get the point. Like, Coach Crum was almost dumbfounded. Like, I never even noticed that he can't, you know, that he's awkward. Like, he's not experienced with something like that, because he's just used to anywhere in transition 2 feet dunking on somebody. But I'm like, you have to slow down to do that. And I think about that when I say, Coach Mack probably said it in practice and probably went over it, you know, a couple times in the middle of the season and was probably like, y'all really don't know how to get to your lanes. Like, you don't know as a two-guard where your lanes are? And you take the other lane if the other player takes that? Like, y'all don't know that?
Well, remember, Marcus, a lot of these guys, we because immediately you're like, most of these guys didn't play for Rick Pitino.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, this isn't Rick Pitino guys. Dwayne Sutton did for a season under as a redshirt.
As a sit-out, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan McMahon did. None of the other guys did. I mean, you know, you forget, yeah. You know? So it's like, and please, I don't love David Padgett, man. And I don't mean that. David was in a tough position. But these guys, it wasn't like he was taking over a team full of Rick Pitino conditioned three-year players.
Yeah,
super, if he did, he might have went to a Final Fours first.
Super fundamentally drilled players. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He didn't get those guys.
But, yeah, we had a lot of opportunities to get some transition, and we just did not, like, get in our lanes the right way. We didn't do the jump stop. I mean, just the simplest of a transition. It was just like I said, every Louisville fan turned over in their chair watching the transition, you know.
Sure.
Over time. But with that being said, you start the season and you say, okay, are these guys going to be able to, you know, because like I said, we get stops. We get some turnovers. You got to get easy buckets to get to, you know, to match up with these turnovers. On the captain thing, I wanted to ask you one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to compare it to Carleek.
Okay.
How do you compare? It's a two-part question. Was Fresh Kimball a good captain, and how would you compare that to a Carleek Jones?
Fresh Kimball was a good captain for a team. He was a good captain for a team because I will say I think that he kept his head up the whole time. You know, he was even through his lulls, you know, he didn't pout.
Yeah.
He didn't sulk. He kept guys engaged. He was a good captain, and he was a good player. I mean, he was a good player too. You know, I don't know. You want to rewrite history? People are like, Fresh Kimball sucked. Oh, I think he sucked. He's a good player.
No. Because what happens is we say he's good. They say Stephen Marcus said he's the best all time. And then you hear best all time everywhere. And now you're like, he should be, you know, dominating. You know,
sure.
Yeah, I get it. That's fine too.
But it's my thing with it is Carleek Jones is the number one consensus grad transfer. All around. Kentucky's waiting on Olivier Saar. And, I mean, he's not a grad transfer, I understand. But, I mean, we're talking about, and they're talking about, we get this guy, we feel like we're going to be. We've watched Olivier Saar with our own two eyes for 2 years.
We've wasted Olivier Saar.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean,
he get his numbers.
Yeah, well, the one game. But he played more than one game against Louisville. But, I mean, you know, the one game he had a pretty good game. And he's not a bad player. I mean, he would be a big help for him. I'm not saying that. They should be excited about getting him if they can. Carleek Jones, we're talking about a dude that did something that only 13 other guards in 30 years have done in college basketball in what he averaged. I mean, like, this is a dude that is expected. Now, again, will he come in and average 28-5? I'm probably not. I don't know that. But the difference is this is a guy whose play on the court is going to demand you come to him.
Also,
I don't think Fresh did that.
Right. Also, okay, people, like, I don't want you to actually do this. I don't want you. Let me tell you, and you take my word for it because you trust me on matters like this. Don't follow him on Instagram. And you know how I mean this. Listen, this is kind of reverse psychology. I hope he's not listening because everybody loves their Instagram followers. But OG fan, you don't want to follow Carly Jones on Instagram. Now, if you follow Fresh Kimball and you listen to talk about appreciating seeing this much foliage in Kentucky and appreciate, oh, this is the first time I've been out on the lake. And Louisville's awesome. They got this, and I thought it was going to be horses and country. He's fun to listen to on the tapes, right? Fresh Campbell.
Sure.
He was fun to watch adapt, right? Oh, it's cool, you know? Just a city kid seeing some new things. Carlick Jones is the exact opposite, people. Like I said, his captaincy reminds me of Angry Man to buy a hopper. And I've told you small stories and anecdotes about to buy a hopper. He would come in sometimes and he would say, I mean, listen, beautiful morning. Everything's good. Listen, in the summertime, the sun comes up early. It's the perfect temperature early in the morning. So it's not too hot. It's not too cold, but it might be a little too early. And he would come in, man, this is some bull.
Listen,
and we're like, what you mad about, man? This morning, this is a great morning.
Was Tobias Hopper who you were comparing Patty Ice
yes,
to?
Yes,
yeah,
100%.
That's right, because Pat just walks in pissed. You're just like, what up, Pat? And he's like, oh, just everything.
Listen, I'm gonna drive home two more points while we got you, because I think it's gonna be a short show for you. So I gotta stick to our commercial break. Let me take one quick commercial break.
Because I'll be back after the commercial break.
Okay, so right. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
Hey, Kentuckiana, Katie George here. How would you like to save an extra $1,000 on a brand new Chevrolet? Well, right now, Coil Chevrolet in Clarksville is offering ESPN Louisville listeners an extra $1,000 off the purchase of any new Chevy when you use the promo code COIL75. So visit coildeals.com, find your new Chevy, then mention COIL75 at purchase and save an extra $1,000. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying. Restrictions may apply. See dealer for complete details.
The teams are back in action. Get that same feeling starting a new job with UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and take pride in a good day's work. Earn $14.50 per hour and up to $150 per week in bonuses. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150-939 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Who running? It better be my University of Louisville Cardinals.
Yeah. We need that. Yeah.
Okay, so Steve, I know you're going to be getting out of here a little early, so where do you want to go with these last, 10, 12 minutes? Is there anything in particular you've been itching to jump forward?
Well, I mean, not so much itching for, because, I mean, it's not like this is my final say before the game. We still have two more days, before game day here. So it's just, you've got that, you've got the basketball coming through. I am interested, though, to hear kind of where people are at, because, somebody, I think it was Andy earlier, called in and said he was excited about Coach Brown's enthusiasm. And I caught a little bit of that on Twitter, too, of people that seemed like they were like, okay, like, it seems like the team is spirited and so you can laugh at that and make fun of it if you want, but when you're 1-3, you sure don't want to hear, we're just trying to figure stuff out. I mean, is it ideal to be 1-3 and talking about my practice was spirited? No, but I did like hearing that it sounds like the team is they're ready to go. Like, they're like, no, let's figure this thing out, man. Let's, like, we're ready to hit.
It's so much easier when you got Notre Dame on the horizon, though, right?
Well, it is.
Unless you're a demoralized team.
Yes, but also one thing I was going to bring up with you was spirited practice comes from one thing.
Competition. Yeah.
No, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. You say substitutions, I say competition. That's where spirited practices come from, because you have dudes that are going, you have Lovie Jenkins, Josh Minkins, Dez Tell. I mean, the quarterbacks, the list goes on. of people going, look, man, there's spots to be had here. I mean, you don't think that Aiden Robbins and Jalen Mitchell didn't watch
how
fumbles?
How much quarterback talk do you think Malik Cunningham hears?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much he's on social media.
Sometimes quarterbacks can kind of check out. Like, they have to be a little bit of a different breed when it comes to criticism.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't know that he probably pays a lot of attention to Stephen Marcus or whatever. I mean, or vice versa. He probably as a quarterback, it's probably like, look, I've got to have a laser focus here.
Yeah, but he probably gets bombarded even when he has pretty good games too. So,
oh sure, yeah. No, absolutely. And so no, I don't know that he does a lot. But in practice, I think even if there's not an open competition, anytime you're 1-3, the quarterback's going to a lot of times take the brunt of that.
So you better assume that they're talking behind the scenes about replacing you.
Oh yeah, I mean, listen, I watched Tennessee, Georgia. I've watched all three of Tennessee's games this year. The talk around Tennessee is like, yeah, Garantano, he can't do it.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about a kid that was the number three quarterback in the country. And they're like,
no,
yeah.
But here's the thing. You would think we have the only failed top quarterback in history.
right. And here's what I don't want. I don't know if gun shy is the right word, but like with this is, I just, like with Garantano, for instance, that people are like, man, it's been 3 years, and every year we say he's going to improve, he's going to improve, and he's just kind of what he is. And it's like, that's where maybe I'm a little bit like, God, I don't want to do that for three more years. I don't want to say, okay, well, he's going to get it now. Well, he didn't get it. All right, senior.
No college player gets past the sophomore. This is all you're ever going to be.
Right. And Malik's in his third year of college football.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so that's where I'm kind of like with my assessment over the last week or two, well, really going on 3 weeks now, it's just been, I don't know that the light's just going to come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, now he's going to be able to make those throws outside the hash, you know, like, oh, okay.
Or move up into the pocket instead of running himself into trouble.
Right. So, and even for his own NFL perspective, I mean, he probably does want to think about, I mean, okay, what am I going to do here? I mean, Reggie Bonifant, guys like that are like, I'm not saying he would move to running back, but, I mean, have made it to the league because, you know,
right.
Okay, well, it's probably in a league position for me, but, yeah, so, I mean, with all that being said, I do think I liked hearing, and I think a lot of Louisville fans did because they understand, look, there's competition in practice this week. That means you're probably going to see some new names, some new faces on the field up in South Bend.
Or new injury reports,
mm-hmm. I mean, you never know what it could be. So, I mean, I think, though, you will see a few new guys getting some reps up in South Bend. And you know, and hey, if that translated into a win, awesome. But, you know, if that doesn't, but it does translate onto a better on-the-field product, then I think you get out of there playing well. You look at the rest of that lineup or the rest of the season, and I think you go, guys, we can – there's still wins out there to be had. I mean, like,
right.
You know, like, hey, like, it's not like we finished the season off with, I mean, that's why you got two. I mean, if you're Kentucky right now, I mean, let's not even laugh for a second. You're staring down the barrel of Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Florida. We're not staring down that barrel. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at Virginia Tech being the toughest game left. By far the toughest game left after Notre Dame, of course. I mean, Notre Dame's a top five team. I mean, they're
so
legit.
Okay, so this will be the last football question, and I have one more outside of football question. Okay. So, is our quarterback going to be the starter the moment the game, you know, the game goes, or is Guantanamo going to get benched?
Listen, let me just say, there's a Bailey kid down here, and he's my T-Web. I'm like 6'4" from Marietta, Georgia. He's got all the tools. Like, I'm like, this is the guy. This is the guy. But Garantano's going to have a tremendous game against Kentucky this weekend, so he'll get another week. But Bama on the horizon.
Right? You better get this one now. Okay, so let me give you this little nugget before you get out of here. Systems check. What do you think I lost from my closet as I woke up from my nap and my dad was gone?
What did you lose?
Take a stab at what I lost in total.
Oh, man.
And for those who don't know the inside joke, my dad raids my closet every time he comes into town, and he usually makes off with some stuff that I have no intentions of sharing with him. What do you think he makes off with?
See, I'm trying to debate because it wasn't real cold, but he may have did his winter shopping in your closet too. So I'm going to say two jackets or pullovers and a t-shirt.
Close.
Okay.
Almost spot on, but the semantics will technically make you wrong. If this was Jeopardy, you'd probably get the correct answer. Two sport coats.
Excuse me for 1 second. That cord is plugged into the wall. Would you not chew on it? Thank you.
Son.
Okay. Right. Okay, I'm back. Yeah.
Listen, he took two sport coats.
Okay.
He took two of them.
Yeah. Sport coats?
Yes, sport coats. Like, nice.
Not jackets, sport coats.
Sport coats. Yeah, when I do these virtual online classes, I like to look real good on them. No, actually, he took two sport coats and my pink button-up shirt. Yeah, breast cancer awareness month, so I'm gonna go ahead and hang on to this pink. Yeah, it's a nice shirt too. Yes, Dad. I know it's nice. That's why I bought it.
Two sport coats and a button-up.
And a pink button-up that
I have. That's literally every nice thing you have. Yeah, like, right? Yeah, I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, this look pretty good on me. Yeah,
oh, my gosh,
man. Looks good on me too, Father. But go ahead. All right, I'll take this phone call. You can hang on if you want to and see.
I'll hang on real quick.
Frank, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my phone call, Mr. Maben. Actually, this question is for the both of you. Basketball, football, and then both together, and then I'm going to hang up and listen. Now, as far as football is concerned, I'm glad to hear that Brian Brown said that the practices were spirited, because what we need more than anything, we need a dog in a fight. And one thing I don't see out of his team, I don't see that dog. I don't see that person that can get, rally the troops, so to speak, and a person that's not afraid to challenge their teammates. Again, I said last week after the Georgia Tech game, I didn't see too much movement on the sideline, so that's what we need to see. I think if we have any chance against Notre Dame or any other team, we got to have that dog. Now, basketball, and to kind of correlate my point, the team that had Rozier and Montrez, we had two dogs on that team, and I think the reason why that they came within a free throw going to the Final Four, even though the chemistry was kind of jacked up at the very beginning, at the end, everyone knew who the leader was. So my question to both of you, football and basketball, who do you think needs to step up on this football team? And I think, Steve, you already answered the basketball team as far as who's going to step up. But, I'm going to hang up and listen. As far as football, who needs to be that dog, especially on defense?
Appreciate the call. Steve, you could take those two while we play them on out.
Yeah. Man, I mean, on defense, golly. I mean, you want to see somebody like Yaya or somebody. That's who I would go with. I would go with Diaby on the edge, man. Like, I need him to keep building on his performances, keep building on that, and keep getting that edge rush. Basketball, it's Carlique. Like, I mean, he's nasty. And I need him to be as nasty as humanly possible. But I will say this. I know what's coming in the second hour already. And Marcus may – I hope Brian Brown's listening because I don't do that often, but Marcus may have a fix for this D-line, and I liked it a lot. So I'm excited about it.
93.9 The Ville.